From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Honor AP, a length and a half. Authentic, rushy running on late. It will be Honor AP, a very impressive winner of the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
And Midnight Bizu, bounding past the Twin Spires. Six lengths in front with 100 yards to go. Motion of Motions up into second. Serengeti Empress, nothing late. Under the wire, the magnificent Midnight Bizu.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
And now there's an eighth of a mile to the finish. Shatsky digs down on the inside. Monday morning quarterback. But here is Max Player on the outside to take over the lead in deep stretch. And Max Player will win the Withers by almost three lengths.
Tears the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third. But it is the New York Hero, Tears the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and a very pleasant good morning. Welcome to the show that launched this great network, the Equine Forum, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have you in the saddle with me this morning across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or all of you listening digitally, and you're doing that with our live streaming or the podcast of the show at horseracingradio.net. Well, we are just 14 days, 8 hours, 48 minutes, and 18 seconds away from the Run for the Roses September 5th, and 75 days, 14 hours, 58 minutes until the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Keeneland in November. And that's probably even more pertinent on this particular Saturday morning, because today we actually take a short break from the Derby Trail and focus on the road to the Breeders' Cup. And it sounds so surreal to be saying Derby and Breeders' Cup in the same sentence at this time of year, but that's the case with everything that's changed. Which, by the way, the Breeders' Cup is about the only major race day being held in its usual position on the calendar here in 2020. Well, I guess you could look at today's Pacific Classic card at Del Mar and say that that's in the usual spot. So there's a couple, but not many. Thank goodness for the Breeders' Cup, giving us some sense of normalcy in what has been a topsy-turvy year, to say the least. And we have three win-and-you're-in Breeders' Cup Challenge races that are going to be contested later today. You have the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap, which is a win-and-you're-in for the Breeders' Cup Turf. You have the Grade 1 Pacific Classic, the win-and-you're-in for, of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic. And then the Breeders' Cup Mile is the race that we'll see the winner of the Grade 1 four-star Dave at Saratoga pointed toward with a victory today. Now, the Del Mar Handicap, let's take that one first. It's race 7, post time 5 o'clock Pacific. That's 8 o'clock Eastern time, the scheduled post for the Del Mar. 11 horses entered, united from the rail for Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela, and he figures relatively short-priced favorite as he goes in search of a fourth consecutive graded stakes victory in that race. The Pacific Classic, which is race 10, has a post of 6:30 Pacific. That's about 9:30 Eastern. Champion Maximum Security, who is now, of course, in the hands of Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, tops that field of six. Short field, quality, especially when you look at Maximum Security. But that field also includes the defending champion in the Pacific Classic, Higher Power. And yeah, he hasn't been in the same form as when he upset that race last year. But I'm going to talk to his trainer, John Sadler, coming up at 8:35. He'll be with me here on the Equine Forum, and he'll tell me why he thinks Higher Power might be able to pull off an upset later today. Five horses have already earned a spot in the starting gate of the Breeders' Cup Classic so far. Mozu Ascot, who won the February Stakes in Japan. That was back in February. Tom's d'Etat, who took the Stephen Foster at Churchill. You have Authentic, who won the Haskell. Improbable punched his ticket with a victory in the Whitney at Saratoga. And then just this past Wednesday at York, Gayoth went wire to wire to win the Judmont International, and he becomes the fifth horse to earn a spot in the starting gate of the Classic. Of course, Maximum Security and the other five rivals that he'll face in the Pacific Classic looking to make it number six. And that brings me to the poll question for this morning. Thought it would be kind of fun to throw out a prop bet like you see in other sports. We can do it in horse racing too. The prop bet in today's Pacific Classic at Del Mar. We're going to give you two choices. You can take Maximum Security, who is going to be a very, very short price favorite. He's even money on the morning line. You can take Maximum Security, or we'll give you the field. You get the other five. So if you're betting that prop bet, who are you going with? That's in today's Pacific Classic at Del Mar. Maximum Security or the field, you can go to at HRRN on Twitter to cast your vote, and, of course, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. In the four-star Dave today at Saratoga, of course, this race named for the Sultan of Saratoga himself, four-star Dave, who remarkably won a race at Saratoga each year from 1987 to 1994. You have nine horses, and this renewal is fitting. A fitting tribute to the Sultan of Saratoga, no doubt about it. The nine horses, how about this? You have four of them coming from the barn of champion trainer Chad Brown. You have Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup Mile winner Uni, six-year-old mare. You have the ultra-talented Raging Bull, grade one winner Valid Point, and Without Parole. All four going to be saddled by Chad Brown. Mark Cassie will saddle the defending champion in the four-star Dave. That's Got Stormy, another lady taking on the boys. She defeated, if you remember, she defeated both Raging Bull and Uni last year. Then there's this other guy by the name of Mott. You might have heard of him. William Ivan Mott, to be exact, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1998. The native of Mobridge, South Dakota, has saddled more than 5,000 winners in his career. Now, he's going to saddle a pair of 20-to-1 shots on the morning line in this year's four-star day. Why do I bring him up? Because all he's done is win this race a record four times. Don't overlook Hall of Famer Bill Mott when it comes to the four-star Dave at Saratoga. That's race nine, post time 5:46 Eastern, 2:46 for those of you on the West Coast. I'll talk with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who of course is the host of our Race Day radio program and other shows here on the network throughout the week and throughout the year. He's also a NYRA handicapper doing the Talking Horses show with Andy Serling, every single day. And Big A going to be with me 9:40 Eastern time this morning to take an in-depth look at the four-star Dave. So the full guest lineup for this morning. After our first commercial break, right around 8:15 Eastern here, just 7 or 8 minutes from right now, five-time Major League Baseball All-Star Victor Martinez is fulfilling another lifelong dream as he prepares to watch his King Guillermo contest this year's Kentucky Derby in just 14 days. And you're going to hear my one-on-one interview with Victor coming up in just a few minutes. That'll kick off the show. I mentioned John Sadler at 8:35. At 9 o'clock, I'll pour a fresh cup of coffee with my good friend Sean Clancy from the Saratoga Special. 9:20, I'm going to visit with Dr. Jim Chiappetta. Now, you know Jim. He's been on with me many, many times over the years, the co-founder of Flair nasal strips. But we're not going to talk Flair strips today. He's in the process of launching an exciting new product for our sport. And I have to tell you, it's a really, really cool concept. Stay tuned because that interview comes up at 9:20. And then, of course, the Big A to wrap it up at 9:40. Don't forget that you'll want to support all of our longtime local sponsors here in the Bluegrass. I love to tell you about them. Of course, we appreciate each and every one of our sponsors, but for those of you listening locally throughout Kentucky, there are so many major breeding farms that are prominent on our list of locally based sponsors, and thanks to each and every one of them for making these shows possible. You also have to support Tony's Steakhouse, 401 West Main Street here in Lexington. Tony'sOfLexington.com to learn more. I'm telling you right now, you won't find a better steak anywhere. Forget about here in Kentucky. I'm talking about anywhere. And we travel all over the country, at least when we could travel. You will not find a better steak. Tony's Steakhouse on Main Street. Woodford Feed, Bob Cleveland and his team just doing yeoman's work in Versailles with Woodford Feed. It's incredible. Still haven't opened the store part of it yet. So they're doing everything outside. You pull up outside, they come out, they take your order, they get everything you need, seed, fertilizer, whatever it is. You're going to be looking at getting ready for the winter. They've got you covered there too. And then, of course, the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. I've been telling you about them for, almost 20 years here on the Equine Forum. Head out there and see the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. They're horse people, and they'll take care of you when you go out to see them. All right. When I come back, you'll hear from five-time Major League Baseball All-Star Victor Martinez talking about King Guillermo getting ready to go to the post in the Kentucky Derby. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
10 to Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The Kentucky Derby runs here. HRRN is your radio home for the Kentucky Derby, Saturday, September 5th. We'll bring you full coverage of the Run for the Roses, as well as all of the stakes on the Derby undercard. Plus, Kentucky Oaks coverage on September 4th, and our Derby countdown shows Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week. Don't miss a minute of the action. The Kentucky Derby, right here on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for a full schedule of events and to listen live.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And there goes Tencent on the outside, and Paco Lopez sets him down for the drive, and he's picking off horses one by one. But meanwhile, up front at 50-1, King Guillermo now going to the lead. Here's King Guillermo on the outside trying to pull a huge upset. Tencent is storming home on the outside. Inside the final furlong, do you believe this? King Guillermo at 49-1. He doesn't just win it, he wins it off impressively. Soleil Volante from absolutely last for second. Texas Swing was third. Relentless Dancer was fourth.
Richard Grunder bringing them home in the Tampa Bay Derby at Tampa Bay Downs earlier this year. Big win for King Guillermo. He punches his ticket to the Kentucky Derby by virtue of that victory. And he is owned by Victor Martinez, who spent several years playing in the major leagues, did it at a very high level. Now he's looking to fulfill another dream with King Guillermo in 14 days. Victor Martinez is our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. He offers, does Stuart, a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignments at all of the upcoming major sales, and I encourage you to do so. Well, during the interview, you'll hear, I was thinking, had it all backwards, that King Guillermo had punched his ticket with a win in the Sam F. Davis. So in this interview with Victor Martinez, you're going to hear me ask him about winning the Sam F. Davis. Of course, it was the Tampa Bay Derby, but Victor is such a pro, didn't bat an eyelash, and he talks about winning the Tampa Bay Derby, even if I did refer to it as the wrong race. But that's coming up now, and this was a lot of fun, this entire interview. I think you're going to enjoy it. Victor Martinez. Victor Martinez grew up in Venezuela. He enjoyed a stellar 16-year career with Major League Baseball, signing with the Cleveland Indians as a free agent in 1996. He was twice named their Minor League Player of the Year. On September 10, 2002, he was called up for his Major League debut with the Indians, and over the next decade and a half would enjoy tremendous success playing for three teams, the Indians, Boston Red Sox, and Detroit Tigers. When his career finally came to a close on September 22, 2018, Martinez retired a five-time Major League All-Star with a .295 career batting average, 2,153 hits, 246 home runs, and 1,178 runs batted in. Today, he finds himself enjoying his 2,400-acre cattle operation named Victoria's Ranch in Okeechobee, Florida, and he is the owner of Kentucky Derby hopeful King Guillermo, who earlier this year scored a 49-1 upset in the Grade 2 Sam F. Davis Stakes at Tampa Bay Downs before a strong runner-up performance in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby in early May provided enough points to make the field for this year's Run for the Roses. Victor, thanks for spending a little time, my friend.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for the opportunity.
Yeah, boy, it has been quite a journey, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been crazy. It's been, you know, everything that we, I'm going to say expected, because when I got into the horse racing with my family, we were expecting just to have fun. You know, just have a couple horses and, you know, go to Gulfstream to Miami and, you know, watch him graze and then come back home and, you know, back and forth, just something, a little something to do, you know, after baseball. And we've been so blessed, and I've always said, man, I'm one of the luckiest men in the world. You know, it meant to happen, you know, right away. And, you know, I can't thank God enough for all of this that we're living.
Well, let's start at the beginning then, Victor. How does a kid growing up in Venezuela, dedicated to baseball, eventually find himself falling in love with horse racing? Where did that love begin?
Well, the city where I'm from, Ciudad Bolívar in Venezuela, we used to have a racetrack, right? A racetrack, it was like 5 minutes from my house. So, you know, my mom used to take us, my mom and dad used to take us to the racetrack, you know, every weekend, and we usually go into the races. So we always, you know, my wife and I always liked the races. My wife used to live, I don't know, maybe like 3 minutes walking from my house. So, you know, we always liked the races. So the thing was that when I was playing baseball, it was hard to get into it, because I want something to enjoy it and have fun. So I wasn't going to be able to do that while I was playing. So that's why, you know, we came up with an idea that when I retire, you know, buy a couple horses and, you know, just go out there and have fun and watch them race.
Would you still follow the sport even when you were playing baseball? Would you have time to follow horse racing at all?
Yeah, I mean, not as much. We always, you know, the teams that I played, we always watch the Triple Crown series, you know, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, you know, and we all, everybody, the whole team will be watching, you know, and then maybe we get some races. But the thing was that I was so busy that I didn't have time for it, you know. I didn't have time to see races. I was always getting to the field around 1:30 in the afternoon, and then I have to work out and do a lot of stuff. So by then, you know, the horse racing were done.
Could you ever imagine that one day all of those players would be sitting in a clubhouse, and now in a couple of weeks we'll be watching you with your horse, King Guillermo, in the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I don't know if you have heard this story before, and you might not gonna believe this, but in 2013, I was playing with the Tigers, and I don't remember where we were watching the Kentucky Derby. Sorry. And I sat down and I started telling my teammates, I'm going to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby. One day I'm going to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby. So I'm a dreamer. You know, I'm a dreamer. And my mom, you know, showed me that dreams are free, you know. So you dream big and you work for it and something happens. So, and at the end, my teammates were like, oh, this is crazy. You know, start talking BS and blah, blah, blah. Ah, okay. So I told him one time, okay, let's do something. There are four of us. Miguel Cabrera, Aníbal Sánchez, and Omar Infante. So I told him, okay, let's do something. Let's put 50,000 and we got 200,000. We go buy a horse. And then, you know, the horse is going to be a good horse. And then he's gonna go to the Kentucky Derby. You know, by then, I didn't know anything, you know, that what would somebody offer for a horse, you know, to buy for a Kentucky Derby. So I told him, but let's do something. Our horse is going to qualify for the Derby, right? And somebody's going to come and offer, let's see, $1 million. And I asked Omar Infante, what should do? And he told me, Victor, we got to sell the horse. Okay. I went, Aníbal Sánchez, what you do? He said, well, you know, we put in 200,000, we get in $1 million. I mean, we got to sell it. And then I asked Miguel Cabrera, you know, I know until today that Miguel say yes because the other two say yes. So when they told me they will sell the horse, I told them, see, this is one of the reasons that I won't be partnered with any of you, because when I have my horse, I'm actually going to have my horse to watch him race. I'm not going to sell it. And they start laughing. So when they find out that I my horse won and then they went into the Kentucky Derby, man, they give me a call and then, you know, congratulate me. It was pretty cool.
How many offers did you turn down after you won the Grade 2 Sam F. Davis?
A few.
I'm sure the phone was ringing after that performance. It was a tremendous effort. King Guillermo winning that race at odds of 49-1. And, Victor, he won so easily. He won by almost five lengths.
Well, you know, that's another story. I'm telling you, it's been a crazy ride, but in the good terms. I mean, we have been enjoying it every single moment of this team. You know, I remember when I bought King Guillermo, that wasn't his name. King Guillermo was supposed to be another horse that I bought. So when they were ready to race, the trainer, Juan Carlos Avila, he called me and he told me, hey, son, he told me, listen, why you want to name the horse King Guillermo? And I told him, well, you know, I would love to have something, you know, in honor of my dad. So, and he told me, why don't you put King Guillermo to this horse? So King Guillermo today. I mean, I right now I'm starting to learning the process about, you know, the paces and stuff, you know, because I didn't know anything about that. And so he would have told me that King Guillermo worked extremely good, you know, in the morning workout, and he's been 30 years in the business, and he told me that, you know, this horse can run. And I went, okay, I'll listen to you. I put King Guillermo to this one. So when he was going to make his debut in a 5.5 furlong, and he was the favorite of the race, it was 14 horse field. He came out a six in the sixth place. We were happy. I mean, we were watching the races and stuff, and we were happy. But Juan Carlos was kind of sad because he was the favorite. He thought he was going to do better than that. So, you know how it is. People start talking that he's a turf guy. You know, King Guillermo, you should put him in turf and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, okay, Juan Carlos, let's do something. Let's put him on a turf race and let's see what happens. So we went to a mile turf, and he broke his maiden by almost almost seven lengths. So I was like, okay. Everybody was like, okay. Yeah, the people were right. You know, he likes the turf. So, and then we went to the Pulpy Stake, And it was a mile or two, and we came in third. So Sole Volante beat King Guillermo on the race. So, I mean, he did a good race. And right after the race, I told Juan Carlos, listen, I still have my dream back in my head. You keep telling me that he works pretty good in dirt, and you know, I wanna give him one more shot. One more in dirt. Let's see what happens. If he doesn't do good, we stay with him and surf. But I wanna see him one more time. And I remember Juan Carlos told me, okay, I'll find a decent race for him. And I told him, no. I don't want not decent race. I want you to pull King Guillermo on a race that give points to the Kentucky Derby. And he looked at me like I was crazy. So then, you know, we went to the Tampa Bay Derby just to try him to see if he liked the dirt, and there were the results.
What do you remember about that moment when he crossed the finish line in front that day?
Man, I don't know. A lot of things went through my head that even during the race, when they were in the other side of the track, right? I had my wife beside me, and I was telling my wife, "Look at him. He's. I think he's liking it. Like, you know, I couldn't believe that he was. He went all the way second. So I was just pressing, you know, the pace. And I was telling my wife, look at him. I think he likes the door. I was like a little kid, man. And when he crossed the finish line, it was, you know, I knew that race was gonna put us in a good position to go into the Kentucky Derby, but I didn't know that race actually put us in the Kentucky Derby. So when I got the interview downstairs and blah, blah, blah. When they told me that, you know, how does it feel to be in the Kentucky Derby, I couldn't even talk. I was like in shock. Like, I just couldn't believe it. We went to Tampa Bay Derby to try to see if the horse liked the dirt, and he came out with a great result.
And to do it with a horse that you named to honor your father has to be even so much more special, isn't it, Victor?
Oh yeah, definitely. And you won't believe this, but you know, I played 16 years in the major leagues, and I'm seeing a lot of people in the streets, and the people just start calling me King Guillermo. King Guillermo is like people forget that I played baseball for so many years, and now I'm just the owner of King Guillermo. It feels pretty good, you know. It's my dad's name, you know.
Does the horse in any way resemble your father with his personality or anything?
Well, when my dad died, I was 7 years old, and I remember very little of my dad, so I can't really, you know.
Yeah, what a wonderful tribute, though. Talking with Victor Martinez, five-time Major League All-Star, who is now pointed to the Kentucky Derby with his King Guillermo. Victor, I've always said that winning any race as an owner, that thrill that you just described, is so powerful, and if you could bottle it, this would be the greatest game in the world. Is there any comparison between the feeling you get watching King Guillermo win that race, the Sam F. Davis, and the feeling you would get when you delivered a crucial hit or a big home run? Can you even compare the two?
Nah, I just can't, man. There's nothing close to this. I mean, I through my whole career, I went through a lot of great moments. Like, you know, I hit a home run in a 2007 All-Star game in San Francisco. I got a lot of big hits during my whole career. But, I mean, this is something else. How can I describe it? I mean, this is something else. It's, you know, I always prepare to play baseball, you know, during the off season, that I know the only question mark was if I'm healthy, I know what I'm capable to do, because, you know, I know my abilities and everything, it's on me. You know, on this side, you know, first of all, the horse got to feel good. Then the trainer got to do a good job. And last of all, you know, the jockey got to do a good job. I mean, it's a lot of things that you they're under your control. So, I mean, when you're looking at that, and you know, as a spectator, as a fan, and you're praying, and you're hoping that everything's go right, because I mean, to win a race, you know better than me. A lot of things got to go right. So, I mean, I can't compare it, man. The emotion with this is really unbelievable.
You told me that you've always been a dreamer and that your mother taught you that dreams are free. So, Victor, dream with me here for just a minute. A couple of weeks from today, beneath the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, King Guillermo comes storming down the stretch and crosses the finish line first in the Kentucky Derby. What's that dream look like to you?
Man, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Just watching King Guillermo race in the Arkansas Derby, when I saw King Guillermo on the field, for some reason, I don't know why, and my family were looking at me like, what happened? I start crying watching King Guillermo on that field. I couldn't be with him, on the racetrack because of this viral stuff. And I just, I don't know. I mean, one thing that I can tell you, it's gonna be crazy.
Do you know how many people you'll be allowed to have with you at Churchill Downs?
Yeah, I'll have my family. That's it. My family and a couple of my agents. They were my agents through my whole career. But that was it. There's a lot of restriction with this, virus going on. So,
is King Guillermo the first horse you've ever purchased?
Well, actually, he was the last one. I bought three horses. I bought two, and then I bought him the day after.
Well, it's a wonderful gift and a wonderful call on your part to make that purchase. And here he is pointing for the Kentucky Derby in just a couple of weeks. Before I let you go, Victor, tell me what Victor Martinez is up to now. I mentioned your ranch, Victoria's Ranch. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I'm actually here right now, talking to you. I'm at the ranch right now. We own a 2,500-acre ranch. It's a cattle ranch, a beef operation. So we sell calves, and I'm here. This is my retirement place. I call them, my paradise. It's so peaceful here. And I even come here and work with the guys. Actually, we work some cows yesterday and today, and I really enjoy doing that.
Why Victoria's Ranch?
Victoria's Ranch came out at I got four kids. My oldest is Victor Jose. He's 15. My daughter, 13. She's Maria Victoria. And then I have another daughter, Barbara Victoria. She's 7. And the little one is Camila Victoria, and she's 3. So there is Victor, Victoria everywhere.
Are they big fans of King Guillermo?
They are. They are. They are really excited about, go to the Kentucky and watching race. So, yeah, we all, the whole families are extremely happy to go there.
Well, Victor. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing ride and an amazing day for you and for your family. And you sound like a wonderful family man. And I want to wish you all the best with King Guillermo on the first Saturday in September this year. A little bit different, but it won't matter if he's standing there with roses draped across his withers at the end.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we all having a tough year. Hopefully all this thing, goes by, soon. But, like you say, it's going to be different, but we are definitely going to try to make the most out of this great experience.
Victor, go enjoy that day, and all the best between now and then, and go make that dream come true, my friend.
I appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No, it could be very, very special for Victor Martinez and his family. As you heard him say, his family will be at Churchill Downs with him. And it's special for anybody. But certainly some of those stories that Victor told in that interview were just fantastic. If you missed any portion of the interview, it will be posted later on our website at horseracingradio.net. And Victor Martinez is our industry star of the week on this Saturday morning. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, we'll talk about the defending champion in this afternoon's Pacific Classic. That's Higher Power, and I'll do that with his trainer, John Sadler. Stay with me. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
It was a hot, sticky day in mid-May at Pimlico. The suburban Baltimore Thoroughbred plant and a huge crowd was on hand to take in the 81st renewal of the run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness. It was 1957, and then Vice President Richard Milhouse Nixon was but one of the vast throng in attendance. Mrs. Nixon, Pat, was to present the trophy, the Woodlawn Vase, to the winning connections. There was a field of 7 3-year-olds going postward to contest the event, run over a distance of 1 3/16 miles. It figured to be a battle between three main contestants: Iron Liege, who'd won that year's edition of the Derby a couple of weeks earlier in the Spangles of Calumet Farm; Bold Ruler, who'd gone postward in the Derby as the 6-5 favorite but had run poorly; and Federal Hill, a speed horse who figured to do well on Pimlico's fast track with the sharp returns and short run to the wire. Also in the field were Inswept, who had won the Spalding Lowe Jenkins and the Chesapeake, both at Laurel; Promised Land, who had won the Governor's Gold Cup at Bowie and run second to Mr. Jive in the Gotham, but had finished third to both Bull Rooter and Gallant Man in the Wood Memorial at Jamaica. Nah Hiss was also in the field, but appeared overmatched, although he had won 3 straight allowance races. And Inside Tract, who had never faced stakes horses and had been claimed for $7,500 and $12,500. One of the critical factors in the race was the post positions, and the race may very well have been won right at the break from the gate, as it turned out. The Inside threesome, Inswept, Nah Hiss, and Promised Land, were notoriously slow breakers. Iron Liege had the 4-hole, Bold Ruler was 5, Inside Tract at post 6, and the pure speed in the race, Federal Hill, on the extreme outside. Bold Ruler was a noted fast breaker, and Federal Hill would have to cross over on the entire field to get to the front, if indeed he could. At post time, Iron Liege was 6-5, Bold Ruler 7-5, Federal Hill 7-1. Eddie Arcaro was aboard Bold Ruler, and when the latch was dropped, he shot Bold Ruler to the front, and as expected, Federal Hill was right there with him. Federal Hill had a half length on Bull Ruler as they went to the clubhouse turn, but Arcaro would not let Federal Hill by to gain a clear lead. That forced Federal Hill to lose precious ground and gave Arcaro and Bull Ruler the fence, so to speak, to save real estate. They ran together on around the turn and onto the backside. Midway down the backstretch, Federal Hill gave up the chase, and it was Iron Liege under Bill Hartack laying third, just off the early fractions, waiting to make one big move. As they went to the far turn, Hartack dropped his mount down a notch and began to move on Iron Liege, but Arcaro would have none of that and cranked Bull Ruler up a notch to continue to hold the length and a half lead. Iron Liege tried again at the top of the straight, but Bold Ruler turned back that challenge as well. Arcaro went to the whip down Pimlico's short stretch and drove Bold Ruler to the wire, a 2-length winner. After the race, Arcaro said he had pretty much given Bold Ruler his head, as opposed to keeping him wrapped up as he had done in the early part of the Derby. Hartack offered no excuses for Iron Liege's effort. Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the trainer of Bold Ruler, had used a cunning little trick on Bold Ruler. He had put a piece of string on the bit of Bold Ruler to ease the pressure on his cheek. In actuality, the race had been decided right at the start, for all practical purposes, when Bold Ruler and Federal Hill rocketed from the gate in front of Iron Liege. It all happened on a hot, sticky Saturday afternoon in mid-May at Pimlico, in the 81st Preakness, when Bold Ruler gained sweet revenge for that year's Derby loss.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Higher power with a quarter of a mile to go. Draft Pick coming after the Mongolian Groom running a huge one, then Tenfold, Homeward Bound in the big one, and it's Higher Power in full flight for the wire. He's opened up to lead by 2.5. Draft Pick is chasing gaily. Mongolian Groom's run a huge one, but not quite good enough to win it. It's Higher Power striding home in the TVG Pacific Classic. Basically, he never gave them a chance. Higher Power and Flavian Pratt win well. Draft Pick second. Mongolian Groom a great third. Then came Tenfold Campaign running on late. Behind that was War Story. Then Seeking the Soul and Pavel. Quip was second last and for the top trail.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, my producer Lee Della Pina, Chauncey handling all of our social media for you this morning. Don't forget our poll question at HRN on Twitter. It's a prop bet in today's Pacific Classic at Del Mar. We're going to give you Maximum Security or the field. Who are you going to take? You get his other five rivals, or you get the heavy favorite Maximum Security. Let us know your thoughts at HRN on Twitter. That was Higher Power. Trevor Denman had the call of last year's Pacific Classic and never gave him a chance indeed. Just rolled to a 5.25 length victory. He is 0-for-5 since winning that race, but has been knocking on the door against some stiff competition, including a third place finish in the Awesome Again Stakes right after that Pacific Classic win. Came back and was third in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He was second in the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, and then third in the Grade 2 San Diego last time out at Del Mar. So not winning, but not off form either. And Higher Power is one of the horses, that the defending champion, that you can have if you pick the field to upset Maximum Security later today. Hoping to be joined by John Sadler, the trainer of Higher Power, coming up in just a few moments. We are efforting John at this time. Obviously a busy morning, but we'll look forward to catching up and spending a few minutes with John. I want to remind you while I have a second that on September 12th of this year, Woodbine is going to bring you the 161st running of the Queen's Plate at home experience. So many racetracks are doing that now with their big event days, and Woodbine will do it with the Queen's Plate on September 12th. With fans not allowed in person, you can still join Woodbine from home as they bring you the Queen's Plate experience directly to fans across the country like never before. Follow them on Instagram at WoodbineTB for the latest news, content, and contest for this year's Queen's Plate at home. First post on that Saturday, September 12th, is going to be 1 p.m. Eastern. And for more racing and horse player information, all you have to do is visit Woodbine.com. So Higher Power, he's interesting in today's race. And you can say, okay, well, yeah, but he doesn't win very often. All right, he doesn't, but he's won 5 out of 18 starts. He's earned $1.5 million in his career. He's no slouch. And on his day, he's a classy horse. And when you look at the horses that he's been beaten by in those five starts since winning the Pacific Classic last year, of course, Maximum Security last time out in the San Diego. He lost to Improbable in the Gold Cup. And as we know, Improbable is pretty darn tough on his day. Of course, he won the Whitney at Saratoga for Bob Baffert. He also lost to Vino Rosso, champion older male, in the Breeders' Cup Classic. McKenzie was second that day. So he's not getting beat by bad horses. When he got smoked in the Pegasus World Cup, that was his worst effort, maybe of his career. Shipped to Gulfstream Park. He was the favorite, if you recall. Higher Power was the favorite in the Pegasus World Cup. He was 5-2. And he finished dead last, beaten 19 lengths. Mucho Gusto, who beat him that day, has proven to be a top horse this year. So, Higher Power is a sneaky upset pick, if you can call the defending champion a sneaky upset pick. But it would be an upset because Maximum Security has been lights out. And say what you want about his campaign last year that is now tainted because of all of the controversy surrounding his former trainer. But Bob Baffert now has Maximum Security in his care. And he's convinced that Maximum Security is a top horse and will be a top horse in this division this year. You're going to hear from Bob coming up in just a little bit as he talks about what it's been like since Maximum Security came into his barn, what he's learned about him, some of the things that he's seen in him. He's tough. He's going to be tough in that spot later today. Again, still efforting John Sadler, working to get him on the phone. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take our last commercial break of this first half of the program. And then when I come back, we will work again to get John and hopefully have him in the next segment for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Soleil Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream. Value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses, by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and bring in what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You know, he came in. He'd been turned out at the farm at Kentucky. So he came in, and that was the only thing. He was very finicky about the way he ate. Like, I like to cook my oats on a lot of some horses, and he will not. He will not eat that, so he has to be fed differently. But he's a kind horse, really smart, intelligent horse. You know, I didn't have any blueprint on him or didn't ask any questions. I just got the horse. Like, hey, I got the horse. He's naked. Here, start from scratch and start working him. And he reminds me a lot of Silver Charm. Lazy, sort of lazy in the mornings. Got to make sure you have to work him with company. You know, he doesn't get tired. He's built like a bull. Just blessed that, you know, that I have him.
That's Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert talking about Champion Maximum Security. Bit of a finicky eater. Doesn't like the way Bob prepares his breakfast. But he's a bull, and he's been a bull. He's rolled over just about everybody that he possibly can in that career. And, again, even money on the morning line for today's Pacific Classic at Del Mar. Still trying to get a hold of John Sadler. May not get to him today, talking about higher power. The winner of today's Pacific Classic will earn a spot in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland coming up in early November. We'll be there both days to bring you exclusive radio coverage of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Been doing that for you since 2007. When we set up in a deluge at Monmouth Park and brought you the coverage that day. And each and every year, we are proud to say we are the exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup World Championships here on HRRN. Five horses have already earned a spot in the starting gate of the Breeders' Cup Classic so far this year. Mozu Ascot, who won in Japan in February. Tom's d'Etat, who took the Stephen Foster at Churchill. You have Authentic in the Haskell. Improbable, who won the Whitney. Both of those trained by Bob Baffert, so Maximum Security could be the third Baffert horse to earn a spot in the starting gate with the Win in Your End program. And then Gayoth Wednesday at York, going wire to wire to win the Judmont International. Those are the five that have already found their way into the starting gate for the Breeders' Cup Classic if they choose to go that direction. Now, you have other Win in Your Ends today, too. It's not just the Pacific Classic. You have the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap, which is a win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Turf. And you have the Grade 1 Four-Star Dave, which is a win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Mile Division. The Four-Star Dave, of course, is going to be held at Saratoga. So win in your in action on both coasts. Lee, let's try John one more time here, see if we can't get him before the end of the program, end of the first half of the show, and we'll get a chance to talk to him about higher power in today's Pacific Classic. As we do that, I want to remind you that if you are looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, check out RTN.TV, the racetrack television network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And as a special treat for all of our listeners, if you use the promo code capital HRRN, you're going to get the first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free. So visit RTN.TV to sign up today. Well, John Sadler is indeed with us now for a few minutes before we segue into the second half of the show. John, first of all, good morning, my friend. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Good morning.
happy to have you on board and looking forward to seeing Higher Power strut his stuff again in the Pacific Classic. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's doing really well. I really feel he's a mile and a quarter horse. You know, I think I was too short when I ran him the other day, but the idea to run him in the prep race down here was he's doing so well, and he likes this track. Let's just get one in him. So, you know, I think he's going back. He's just as good as he was last year. He's been unlucky this year, the second in the Gold Cup last time, and, you know, things haven't gone his way this year. But he's doing great, so we're ready to go on Saturday.
I pointed out the fact that even though he's 0-5 since winning this race a year ago, he hasn't been beaten by slouches. He's losing to the likes of Vino Rosso and Mucho Gusto and Improbable and Maximum Security. Those are some tough horses right there, John.
Yeah, I mean, he's in, you know, the division has improved this year. I mean, you know, this year we catch the, you know, arguably the best horse in the world with Maximum Security. So a lot of it, you know, a lot of these horses, it's who you're in with and everything like that. But we've just a good horse, and he, you know, we're excited to run him. And, you know, that being said, we realize we're in with Maximum Security. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Yeah, other than, of course, just running faster than everybody else, what's the key for Higher Power turning the tables on Maximum Security and Midcourt, who both finished in front of him last time out?
Yeah, for him, it's just about he likes a trip where, you know, he's not a horse that can overcome, you know, being bounced around or stopped or checked or anything like that. He's a big horse with a long, steady stride. So he needs kind of a big cruising trip, you know, where he can be, you know, reasonably placed somewhere and in the clear. So if he gets that kind of trip, you know, that's what I think he likes.
Yeah, it would be wise not to overlook Higher Power in today's Pacific Classic. You have another horse in a win and you're in at Del Mar, and that's Combatant, who will go to the post in the Del Mar Handicap. Tell me a little bit about Combatant.
Combatant's a good horse. He won the Santa Anita Handicap and he had a troubled trip in Oaklands. We brought him back, freshened him up, and then we ran him in the San Diego, and he hopped at the start. Boston was eliminated at the start. So we thought we'd separate these two this weekend. Although he hasn't won on the grass before, he's been, you know, run some good races on the grass, beat by Scat Daddy. You know, I think he could be good on both surfaces. And Steve Asmussen's previous trainer, you know, mentioned that he might like really firm turf, which is what you have here in California, versus in the East Coast you get a lot of rain. So he's going to get firm turf. Another one, you know, he's won at a mile and a quarter. This is just going to sit for him.
Yeah, you know, I was going to tell you, John, you mentioned the Scat Daddy. He also has, he's out of a boundary mare. So top and bottom, he's bred to handle the grass. And if he does, with the way he's running some of his best performances, you know, you could be looking at potentially a sweep of the two winning your ends.
Yeah, well, we're excited. It's a big day for us. It's the opening day this day and Labor Day weekend are the highlights of the meet. So we'll have our largest crowd of the meet, whatever that means.
Yeah, it is so surreal, isn't it, being out there and not having all of the fans that we're used to seeing?
Totally. It's really odd. You know, I've been coming here for so many years. You know, it's just an odd year, but I can say this. I mean, the employees at the racetracks have been outstanding. The protocols for COVID on the front and the back of the racetrack have been outstanding. Everybody's doing their part. You know, they're kind of unsung heroes. But I've been really impressed with the people, the way they're handling this tough situation. And it's tough all over, whatever business you're in or, you know. But this is one that you have to be here, so there's no real way of kind of, you know, you can't stay home and do it on a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, well, John, I know it's a busy morning. I'll let you go. Appreciate the visit, my friend, and all the best with the win in your hands and all your horses coming up later today.
Okay, take care.
All right, John Sadler here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, you know, look, I mean, Combatant, he's going to be a long shot. If he runs his race and he gets his trip, maybe, you know, that's why they run the race. They don't run it on paper, obviously. But he's bred top and bottom to be a good turf horse, and John thinks the distance will be no problem. So We'll see. But higher power, his main bullet to fire out there later today. All right, going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. Then we'll come back, get you set for the second half of the show. That's next right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And it's Authentic who's still very strong on the front end. And he pulls away with authority. Authentic is undefeated as he will romp in the San Felipe. A very easy 2.5 lengths.
Gamine's running up the score. Oh, look at this fine filly romp here. John Velasquez lets her roll at the 16th pole, and she has absolutely destroyed the acorn field.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
It's Bonnerus toward the inside for Junior Alvarado. Major Fed closing. New York Traffic Gamely. And then Mailman Money. It's Bonnerus. Bonnerus and Junior Rivera and Junior Alvarado at 12-1. Bonnerus has won it.
Tom's D'Etat shaken up to a three-length lead. By My Standards is trying hard, but he's still second. Silver Dust is third. Multiplier trying to come on late for fourth. But with a 16th to go, it's total domination for Tom's D'Etat.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, rolling along. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, my interview with five-time Major League Baseball All-Star Victor Martinez talking about his Derby contender King Guillermo, or with trainer John Sadler just a few moments ago. Head over to horseracingradio.net. You can check out a podcast of this show and all of our shows at your leisure. They're there for you, horseracingradio.net. Well, second half of the show kicks off with my good friend Sean Clancy from the Saratoga Special. I'll be joined by Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips at 9:20, but not to talk about Flair, to talk about a very exciting new project, which is really, really cool. You'll want to stay tuned for that interview at 9:20. And then the Big A, Anthony Stabile, coming up at 9:40 Eastern Time to preview what is a stellar rendition of the Grade 1 four-star Dave at Saratoga later today. Well, it is time to kick off the second half of the show, and as I do every single week during the Saratoga meet, I pour a fresh cup of coffee with my good friend, Sean Clancy. Sean, cream, sugar, what do you want?
Just a little milk. Just froth up the milk a little. About a quarter milk and rest coffee.
How are you, brother?
Kind of like a latte. Kind of like a Saratoga special latte, right?
Well, listen, we come on every week. We talk about your cup of coffee segments that you do, and we're recording this interview early on Friday, so we won't be able to talk about the Saturday piece necessarily, but we can look back on the Wednesday edition of the Saratoga Special, which people can go to thisishorseracing.com to read, and the title of your piece was Deep Water. Tell me about that piece.
So a jump jockey named Tom Garner, who subsequently won the New York Turf Riders Cup on Thursday. The week before, he and a friend, they were heading home from galloping horses, and it was raining hard. It was the tropical storm, Isaias or whatever, that came through there. And they're trying to go to lunch and couldn't get to the place where they wanted to go, and wound up kind of coming up to a bridge. A couple cars were stopped. They stopped there, and it's absolutely crazy. There was a car tried to drive through this flood. It was like a flash flood. It was a stream that turned into just a torrent of water. And this family tried to drive through it, and the car literally got picked up by the water and just floated away. They couldn't see the car. It kind of went behind some trees, and about that stage, a guy driving as Tom Garner in his British accent said, a loader, basically a backhoe, like a township worker in a backhoe, had driven up to the stop sign, was heading the other direction, actually. These guys flashed him down, and he drove over. These four guys, Tom and his friend Water and two other guys that they just met, they climbed in the bucket of the backhoe and drove through this water and came up to the car, and the car was wedged up against the fence. The only thing holding the car was the fence, and there's a post and rail fence holding this car from just going. The car would have been just gone. I mean, the water was going so hard and so fast. And these four heroes and the drivers, so five of them, they rescued this family. It's a father and four kids, and the kids, they got the kids up on top of the car, and they got them in the bucket of this truck. I mean, bucket of the loader, and rescued them. I mean, it was just the. There's some videos of it. I try to write about it and give it a, you know, that kind of take on it, but they sent me a couple of the videos of it, and it's just astonishing. I mean, it's just like you just can't believe how lucky this family was. These guys came along, and the loader came along and saved the day. So Tom Garner is a very, really good jockey, 29-year-old from England, and making a living here and doing very well. And, yeah, he's a hero. And I think riding the jump race probably seemed easy after that one.
Yeah, and you kind of sum that up at the end of the piece when you say, when a jump jockey says it was insane, and then you have a couple of quotes from Garner. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any crazier than that, and thankfully everything turned out well and everybody's safe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the videos of it, when you see that the father was standing, he had waded into the water carrying his youngest kids, probably a 2-year-old, and then his other son climbed out of the car and tried to. I don't know what I don't know if he was trying to climb onto the car, but anyway, he was in the water, and I mean the water was so strong, and I mean it's just, you know, life is so fragile. We're reminded over and over and over, and this was a moment where it just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and saved his family. It's just I don't know. It's just an heroic feat these guys pulled off, and. They just happen to be in the right place at the right time to save a family. You know, we get talking about horses and racing and worrying and fretting, and then you have another reminder of how fragile life is. Seems like we've had a lot of that in 2020. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, one of the things that I have always enjoyed about your cup of coffee segment, Sean, and I think I've told you this, but is that you tend to take a personal approach to these when you sit down to think about what you're going to write, and you're very reflective, and you oftentimes will put life in perspective through your pieces. And this is another one, Deep Water, which I would highly recommend people go back and read because it's so well done. And I'm curious, when you sit down to think about the story that you're going to write, obviously you have different ideas in your head, but what's the thought process that you go through before you put one of these cup of coffee segments together?
That's a good question. I mean, it varies. You know, some of them just come out very easily. You just kind of spill them out, and other ones just seem like, you know, I always know when I'm struggling when I look at the word count, when I just keep checking the word count. It needs to be about usually 800, can be 900. I can get away with 700, but I know I'm struggling when I look at the word count and it's, you know, 132. I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to get there? They've become easier, I guess, the writing process. I've always tried to, and I'm not glorifying this, it's just writing about horse racing and life. But I do enjoy trying to put a little bit of life perspective on this crazy game that we play. That does consume us and takes all our energy and, stress level and everything else. We very much live and breathe it. But I do think you need to stop and take a kind of a life perspective sometimes. So I try to do that with a column. It's an easy place to do that. It is a column. It is basically my opinion or, you know, my take on things. So that part, you can do it in a column, and I'll get, you know, occasionally somebody will disagree or something. I'm like, but that's the definition of a column. It's actually my opinion or my take on something. So, over the years,
you know, I've covered a lot of different things from you know, pure joy to pure devastation with, you know, people in this game, whether they're owners, trainers, jockeys, breeders, fans. So it's fun. I mean, I really enjoy that part of it, just trying to take a little time and give a little perspective on life, right?
Yeah, you know very well what my favorite column is that you've ever written with the cup of coffee, and that's You Know You've Made It When, You Know You Haven't Made It When, and you compared various scenarios with those two statements. How about for you? What's your favorite cup of coffee column that you've ever written?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, I've written a couple. I mean, I look back a couple ones about Miles, my son. Those will always, you know, hold a special spot. I remember when Miles was really young, I was in Saratoga, and he was here in Virginia with Annie. And he had gotten hurt. He had something happened. I forget what he did. He hit his head or something. He was fine, but I remember talking to him on the phone, and I didn't have a column idea, and I was talking to Miles. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I just started kind of writing what he was saying to me. I was just writing down on a piece of paper. And I remember that one. I remember him saying, Dad, you should have been here. And he didn't really mean it like, you should be here, you bum father. What are you doing? But as a father, you know, 8 hours away from your son, that's how I took it. You know, it's very much like, yeah, I should be there and I'm not. I remember that one. That was kind of a special one. I wrote one last year. It just kind of resurfaced. It was about the Charlottesville demonstration 3 years ago. You know, when the woman Heather Iyer, she got killed, and I remember being in Saratoga. And, you know, we were worked up about, you know, racing, and it's a great distraction. But there are times when you have to realize that it isn't just a distraction. I remember that one because, you know, we were literally in Saratoga worrying about field size and the trip you got on the grass and the, you know, carryover and, you know, writing a newspaper about horse racing. And I remember when that woman got killed there, and just a senseless tragedy, and the way our country was going. And it just seemed like such a foreboding moment in our country's history. And I remember writing that. I called it For Heather. And I came across it the other day. It was 3 years to the day when she died. And to see how far our country slipped from there, and I thought that was a good one. I remember writing it. I remember feeling like, you know, maybe I'd actually reached outside the lines a little bit of horse racing and tried to kind of say something a little bit more of a perspective on life in our country. I didn't get real political about it, but I just, you know, it just was such a foreboding moment. I thought this country's going to just be so fractured. And sadly, in 3 years, it's just gotten worse and worse. So I remember that one for sure.
Yeah, well, it's a fantastic column. It appears as the final column in the Saratoga special every week, Cup of Coffee by Sean Clancy. And he is my guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. He'll be back with me 9 o'clock Eastern next Saturday as well. And we'll encourage you to go to thisishorseracing.com to read not only the Saturday version, but read Wednesday's version. It's coming out twice a week now during the Saratoga meet, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And you can go back and read every single Saratoga special that they put out this entire 2020 meet. So head over there and do it. thisishorseracing.com. And Sean, listen, appreciate the visit here this morning and can't wait to head over and read the Saturday special as well.
Thanks for everything. You're doing a great job, and appreciate all the great words and enthusiasm and encouragement over the years from all you guys.
All right. Keep it rolling, brother.
You too.
All right, Sean Clancy here with a cup of coffee. Again, recording that segment early, so we weren't able to talk about his Saturday column, but you can head back there and take a read through that one now. I'm sure it's spectacular, as pretty much all of his columns are. Coming up next, going to visit with Dr. Jim Chipetta. Again, you know him as the man who is the co-founder of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. And He is now involved with a brand new project that he's been talking to me about for the past couple of months, really. It's a neat idea, and I think it's going to be really cool for the sport, and I think it's going to be a really fun thing for horsemen, for fans, and for industry executives to take part in. It's pretty cool. It runs the gamut, and I'm going to talk to him about that coming up next. And then the Big A, Anthony Stabile at 9:40 Eastern time to dive in to that unbelievable renewal of the Grade 1 four-star Dave at Saratoga later this afternoon. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Get on the fast track to fun. This summer, Ellis Park Racing and Gaming has an action-packed schedule, including the 2020 Run Happy Summer Meet at Ellis Park. The Run Happy Ellis Park Derby will be the track's first ever Kentucky Derby qualifying race. Preview the action August 2nd with the Run Happy Kentucky Downs Preview Day. Then, on August 9th, catch the excitement of the Run Happy Ellis Park Derby, where the winner is almost guaranteed a spot in the Kentucky Derby. We can't wait to make history with you this summer. Visit Ellis Park. ParkRacing.com for details.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms has sired over 70% winners from starters. His top runners include multiple stakes winner and grade 3 victor Recruiting Ready, multiple stakes winner and graded stakes performer Taylor Spirit, and juvenile stakes winner South Bend. In the Pennsylvania Derby, Algorithms notched his first grade 1 winner with a thrilling victory by Matt Wizard. In the ring, his juvenile sold up to $275,000. Algorithms, standing at Claiborne Farm.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming down to the final furlong, and the gutsy Gully Funny Side has a narrow lead. Bobby Frankel's Derby duo, Peace Rolls to his inside. Empire Maker is giving it all. Funny Side trying to pull up. The upset here. 12 to 1 coming down to the line, and the gutsy Gully Funny Side.
Tom Durkin with the call of the 2003 Run for the Roses. Funny Side getting the victory for trainer Barkley Tagg and owner Saratoga Stable. Of course, they are back again in this year's Run for the Roses, coming up in 2 weeks. And they're back with the likely favorite, Tis the Law, who has just been a beast, winning the Belmont Stakes, winning the Traverse Stakes in each of his last two outings, and now looking to add the Kentucky Derby to his resume. We'll be there to bring you all of that exclusive radio coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network all week long. Head over to horseracingradio.net, and you can check out our complete Derby Week schedule and, of course, a listing of affiliates where you can tune in, and SiriusXM channel information for the Run for the Roses as we bring you that coverage in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports. But can you imagine what it would have been like to own a piece of history before it actually happened? And what I'm talking about is, say, for example, a Funny Side saddle towel or a Funny Side horseshoe, whatever it might have been. And I'm talking about the one that he wore to win the Kentucky Derby. That would have been cool. It wasn't possible then, but it could be possible here in 2020 in 2 weeks with the Run for the Roses. And to tell you more about that is Dr. Jim Chiappetta. I told you know him from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. You now know him from a brand new project that he's involved with. And Jim, thanks for taking some time here this morning.
Hey, Mike. Great to talk to you as always. Wow. What an intro. I wish I could afford you. I'd bring you on to the team.
I'm happy to do it anytime I can, because this is something that's really neat. And I purposely, over the course of the last, 70 or 80 minutes here on the program, have not mentioned the name of your new project because I don't want to steal your thunder, but I have said that this is something that is going to be very, very exciting for fans, for horsemen, for anybody that's a fan of thoroughbred racing. So take it away, my friend. The stage is yours. What is it?
Very good. Thanks, Michael. So we call this Fanticipate. Fanticipate.com is the website, which will be live shortly. And we'd love people to go there and check it out. But not only does it allow, as we're going to explain, people to own a piece of history, but they're going to be part of history and helping us make this site take off. So it may have a few glitches, and we want people to comment, but things seem to be good on the technical front, getting it together. But to give you a summary, it's a patented system that allows competitors to offer fans special items and experiences in advance of the event. And so from a fan's perspective, you're going to potentially own some aspect or some item that is in the event. And as you watch that race, you're going to see your item in use. You're part of it. You have a whole different experience with it. There's even the likelihood that what they purchase at auction can go up in value depending on how the competition turns out. For competitors and for owners, it's going to give them a new revenue stream, but I think more than a new revenue stream for themselves, they're going to be able to do things with that revenue stream, such as give it to a charity and help others out with it. But also it helps them build the brand. We'll talk a little bit about what we're learning about what people are interested in as far as their fan experience. So as you said, we like to think it's about people having the opportunity to be part of history while it's being made. And competitors can share the thrill of being in the game with outsiders. So maybe a little bit of background. And I'm going to divert to Flair, but only for this one example. When we launched Flair at the 1999 Breeders' Cup, I think it ended up being about a third of the horses were wearing strips and three of eight horses running that weekend of the eight races at the time when Breeders' Cup was just on Saturday. Three of eight were wearing strips. But when I and Dr. Ed Block, who founded Flair with me and he's part of Fanticipate as well, when we were standing in the saddling paddock, every time a horse would step into the saddling paddock that had a nasal strip on, we had a special engagement with that horse. And you know what? We still have it today. We still get excited as people support our product. But what we got to see was something we had made, something we had our hand in, was in that race. So we had a different kind of engagement with that race. And when we got back, Ed and I had spent years watching horse races, and we had to ask ourselves, what was different about this experience than all the other ones? And it was that feeling of engagement that we owned a piece of what was in that race. And back, I think, in 2003, we said, how do we capture that? How do we help bring fans to a sport and get them engaged in another way? And we're always looking at new ways to bring fans to a sport, and particularly horse racing. So how do we do it? What brings it about? And so that's where Fanticipate was, the genesis of Fanticipate. So as we've been poking around and doing our market research, we're finding that fans really have a hunger to compete and be part of the action. Right? We're living in a new world order, and you hear this term all the time, experiential. People want experiences. They want to feel it. And what we tried to do is, how do you take a virtual world we live in that's fairly massive and allow people to feel that experience? But these fans, they want something from their heroes. They want a piece of them. We've always had a memorabilia industry. In fact, it's over $6 billion annually. But even today, when we're living in a world of COVID where we have spectatorless sports going on, people still want to engage with them. So we started thinking this might be the right time to bring Fanticipate out when people are looking at new ways to engage with their sports heroes.
Yeah, it's a great concept. And again, Fanticipate.com is the website that will be live shortly, and you'll be able to go there. And for people that aren't grasping the concept, Doc, let me simplify it even more. Basically, an owner, a jockey, a trainer, anybody that's involved in horse racing, in this example, would be able to go to Fanticipate, list an item for auction prior to a race, prior to an event. So this is different from, say, eBay, where you can go and bid on items that have already been, say, assigned baseball or assigned pair of goggles from a jockey. That's already happened. This is in advance of the event, which I think is a neat concept because, for example, if you were to go, if we had this, would say Mind That Bird, and you were a fan of Mind That Bird, and you went and bid on something that was out there from Mind That Bird before he won the Kentucky Derby, you'll probably get it at a very, very low rate, low price, and then all of a sudden he jumps up at 50-1 and wins the Kentucky Derby, and now that item that you purchased ahead of time is increasing in value dramatically. And to me, Doc, that is the real core of what this Fanticipate concept is all about. Is that right? We'll get Doc back on here in just a minute. We obviously lost the connection with Dr. Jim Chiappetta. Again, talking about Fanticipate, and it really neat. Like I said, I didn't want to steal his thunder earlier in the show, but he's talked to me about this for a couple of months. And my first question was, what makes this different from eBay? Why can't I go, if I'm a trainer or an owner, why can't I go post something on eBay, auction it off, and take the money and donate it to charity? What's different? Well, the difference is, and the proprietary element of this is that it happens in advance of the event. So items listed would have to be listed prior to the Kentucky Derby. And if you want to go bid on an item from, let's say, Authentic, or you want to go bid on an item from Tis the Law, or whatever it might be, Art Collector, Honor AP, New York Traffic, King Guillermo, if there's something out there that you want to go bid on, you do it in advance of the actual event. So in a way, it's almost like making a futures bet too. It's neat. The whole concept is neat. And again, it's Fanticipate, and it's not live yet, but it will be live shortly. And we are making that, or at least attempting to make that connection back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta, and apparently having some issues there. He is out west, and for some reason, maybe in a remote location, and not happening right now. All right, well, stay tuned for more on Fanticipate. We'll have more information on our Twitter feed, at HRRN, once it goes live. I'm sure they'll have a Twitter page for Fanticipate, and we'll have more information for you on that as we get closer to the launch of that website. Coming up next in the next segment, I am going to visit with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who you get to hear every single week here on the show. He's host of our Race Day show, which airs Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons. He is also here to host our Weekend Stakes Preview show and our Brisnet.com call-in show. Of course, the Weekend Stakes Preview is presented by Naira Betts, and it's posted right now, as a matter of fact, on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can go back and listen to Anthony and to Bobby Newman talking about the big races this weekend, including the Grade 1 4-Star Dave, which is the feature race at Saratoga later today, and it is loaded. Loaded. I mentioned Chad Brown with four starters in there, four in what is a, I won't call it a short field, but it's not a gigantic field, nine horses, not a short field, average field. He has four of the nine, including Eclipse Champion and Breeders' Cup Mile winner Uni. He has the ultra-talented Raging Bull. He has Grade 1 winner Valid Point, and he has Without Parole. Mark Cassie is back with the defending champion in the four-star Dave, Got Stormy. So you have two of the top older mares in the country, Got Stormy and Uni, taking on some of the top males, turf males that we have in the country. And Got Stormy, when she won the race last year, defeated both Raging Bull and Uni in that race. You have Bill Mott, who's won the race a record four times. He's back in there with a couple of 20-1 long shots. Is there an upset in the making from William Ivan Mott? Well, post time for the four-star Dave, 5:46 Eastern today, 2:46 out on the West Coast. And when I come back, I'll talk with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, about that race and about what's happening up in New York with racing moving forward after Saratoga. The stakes schedule for Belmont and Aqueduct coming out earlier this week. We'll talk to Anthony about that as well. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adina Springs bred and raced Dawson McGinn's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer, Ghost Sapper. Now one of the most consistently brilliant sires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adina Springs also bred and raced Ghost Sapper's best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
Shaman Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Believe in the first Shaman Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. For the first time, the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks will be run on the same night, Friday, August 28th. This wild and wonderful card features 7 stakes races worth over $1.2 million combined. The special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 28th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Don't miss your chance to watch and wager on the trials for the world's richest quarter horse race, the Grade 1 All-American Futurity. The card at Ruidoso Downs features trials all weekend for the $3 million All-American Futurity, as well as the $1 million All-American Derby and the inaugural $420,000 All-American Oaks. You'll find a simulcast broadcast of Ruidoso Downs races along with free PPs at RaceRuidoso.com. Visit your favorite ADW provider to place your bet. Guaranteed excitement? You bet.
The Kentucky Derby runs here. HRRN is your radio home for the Kentucky Derby, Saturday, September 5th. We'll bring you full coverage of the Run for the Roses, as well as all of the stakes on the Derby undercard. Plus, Kentucky Oaks coverage on September 4th, and our Derby countdown shows Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week. Don't miss a minute of the action. The Kentucky Derby, right here on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for a full schedule of events and to listen live.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Got Stormy and Uli are moving together 4 and 5 wide as they come to the top of the stretch. And Circus Maximus is right in behind them. A covery charge into the final furlong. Got Stormy and Uli, the two girls take over as they come to the final 16th. Uli to the front. Got Stormy back in the second. Without Parole takes third lane behind Uli in the mile. Uli did it by 2.5 over Got Stormy. It was tight for third. Without Parole on the line with Circus Maximus.
Larry Colmus with the call of last year's Grade 1 four-star Dave, and Got Stormy with a big victory. She's back to defend her crown later today in what is a stellar renewal of the four-star Dave. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, back with you on the Equine Forum. Joined now by Naira Handicapper and HRRN host slash analyst, the ultra-talented, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, here on HRN. Big A, what's up?
Good morning, Baron. What's happening?
you like the way I worked in Ultra Talented? Not like your head needs to get any bigger, but I went ahead and threw it in for you just to throw you a bone.
We usually go with Multimedia Superstar, but that's fine. Ultra Talented works.
That works too. Hey, listen, what a renewal of the four-star Dave. I mean, this race, unbelievably good.
You know, Mike, it's funny. The last few years, you and I have had some interesting four-star Dave days when it was earlier in the meet. Me and the little A back in 2016, we actually canceled halfway through the card. They had to postpone the four-star Dave. You guys were out at Arlington for the Million and almost had to do that broadcast because we were having production problems all over. Do you remember this day?
Yeah, I do. It was a nightmare.
That was crazy. The next year, you and Jude were up here, and we got like three. It was almost like it was going to happen again, 3 inches of rain, and World Approval burst onto the scene and wound up rattling off three in a row, the Rico Woodbine Mile, and then the Breeders' Cup Mile. So, yeah, I mean, when you look back at the recent history of this race, Wise Dan a couple of times in 2012 and 2013, Tourist in 2016, World Approval in 2017. All of those horses went on to win the Breeders' Cup Mile. And more often than not, they have a stop or two in between. So while it's not the ultimate final prep, it's become a very, very important prep on that road to the Breeders' Cup Mile.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, and I think the moral of the story, as you walk through some of the challenges we've had with doing some of these broadcasts because of weather conditions or whatever it might be, this show today has been a little bit like riding a bull, Big A. So the moral of the story is do not do any radio broadcasts of any kind when the four-star Dave is being run on four-star Dave Day. Can't do it.
That's what
I think it's the ghost of a four-star Dave.
That's what the boys just stay away. Yeah, just stay away from the radio.
Yeah, the ghost of four-star Dave.
I'll be far away from the radio room today. I'll be I will be with Patty and Jerry Brown, parents of leading trainer Chad Brown, hanging out at the house today, just chilling out and watching Chad have four in that four-star Dave this afternoon.
You're such a name dropper. His four horses are formidable, to say the least. He very well could run 1, 2, 3. I don't know if he'll run 1, 2, 3, 4, but he's got a good chance to round out the trifecta.
When Valid Point, who won the Grade 1 Secretariat at the only time was running the mile last year, is your fourth string, if not even string, but like your fourth weapon, according to Morningline oddsmaker David Aragona anyway, you'd have to think that, it's going to be a real shootout. And yeah, I mean, the race runs through the Chad Brown barn. You also have the 1, 2, 3 finishers from the race last year. Now he happens to train two of those and Uni and Raging Bull. And it's funny how, along with Winner Got Stormy from last year, the three have kind of taken different, paths in the last year or so. Uni, of course, did not lose after the loss last year. Last year, anyway, she lost this year to Newspaper of Record. But Uni kind of dominated the division the second half of the year last year. Raging Bull got his Grade 1 this year in the Shoemaker Mile. And the defending champ got Stormy. It's been a little bit of a tale of two cities. She's kind of lost a step. And I think you saw that earlier in the year. And she's had glimpses, but I think her better days might be behind her. With that said, she had some pretty good better days. And take nothing away from her. Horses with her, old class horses that have speed, are always very, very dangerous. Almost like the fighter that has the one good fight left in them. Well, you feel like these horses, these classy horses, mares, they always have one good one left in them. So I think she adds a little intrigue to this race. But yeah, I mean, between Uni and Raging Bull, you throw in a little without parole, it looks like Chad Brown has a really strong hand going into the four-star Dave later on today.
I'm a huge Uni fan. She was such a top pick for me last year in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and I just, you know, I fell in love with her after she won that race at Keeneland. What was it? Was it the Shadwell Turf Mile? Is that the one that she won winning?
She actually took on the ladies and won the first lady, but in the process,
the first lady,
Rushing Fall, who was undefeated, that's actually Rushing Fall's only loss at Keeneland. So she took on her stablemate, yep, and she beat her, a course-loving Rushing Fall.
Yeah, she is going to be, in my opinion, I think she's going to be a handful right back under Jose Ortiz. And again, one of four for trainer Chad Brown. And then Mark Cassidy, we talked about the defending champion and got Stormy. I also mentioned that your good friend, William Ivan Mott, has a pair of horses that are both 20-1 on the morning line, but nobody has won the four-star Dave more than Bill Mott. Do you see an upset in the making anywhere with those two Bill Mott horses?
You know, Casa Creed won the Hall of Fame last year over the course. It was his best. I thought it was his best effort. I would not be surprised if he can get into the super. I just don't know if he could beat those some of Chad's horses, but I think he's a little dangerous. I'll tell you what, Chewing Gum, I don't know if Chewing Gum wants to go this far, period. I really don't think he wants to go this far against this caliber, but I do believe, as far as a turf sprinter goes, I think he's a horse that's going to be okay. Maybe the Belmont Turf Sprint Championship, maybe the Breeders' Cup. He's got issues. He's kind of a tweener with those sprints. He needs like 6 or 7. I don't know if 5.5 is long enough. I think a mile's too long. But listen, nobody's winning one of them. How about this one, Mike? John Velasquez, 9 wins in this race. 9 wins in the four-star Dave.
Yeah.
Just remarkable. Remarkable.
And nobody has won more four-star Daves as a jockey than Johnny V, and nobody has won more as a trainer than Bill Mott, and they team up on 20-1 shot Chewing Gum from the outside.
Yeah.
You're looking for a Swami angle, a hunch play? Throw a couple bucks on Chewing Gum across the board.
No question about it. He's a horse that has some talent. Coming back kind of quick, 3 weeks. That's not usually Bill's MO. But, yeah, I mean, he's got, listen, his field top to bottom. You know, because the fact that Chad has the strong hand is always, it draws all the attention. And you know what? I think it's unfair because you have some really nice horses in this race that aren't trained by Chad Brown. And the fact that that's always the narrative, for me, it's getting kind of old. And it's also a little bit of a slight to some of the other horsemen and women. Look, the guy's the leading trainer, you know, and he's the defending Eclipse Award winner for the last several years. But, Like I said, I think the narrative gets old, it's a slight to somebody. Like you said, Bill Mott has 2 horses in a race. They're 20-1. The guy, nobody's won the race more than the guy. So,
yep.
Yeah. But it's just a great weekend. Looking forward to that. The Diana then on Sunday. Yeah, really looking forward. I can't believe, Baron, you know, I miss you guys up here this year. It's a little different up here without everybody here, without the boss giving me a hard time for 4 or 5 days, just without smoking a cigar over at the old place. But, yeah, weekend number 6. I mean, that's absolutely remarkable. We're almost through the Saratoga meet.
It really is. And then we'll turn our attention to Belmont and the fall stakes schedule there, which was released earlier this week, and a lot of changes, not just to the stakes schedule, but to the purse structure, as you might expect. I think this is going to happen not just at Belmont, but at many racetracks around the country if we don't get back to the point where fans can be allowed on track and bet the races on track. Before we get to that topic, though, Big A, tell me just a little bit more about that Diana tomorrow, because it is, I mean, you're talking about the Canadian Horse of the Year. You're talking about Sister Charlie looking to win it for, what, a third consecutive year. That field, just like the four-star Dave, loaded.
Yeah. Rushing Fall, you're going to add her to the mix. She was runner-up to Sister Charlie in this race last year. You got Christoph's Philly, who ran Starship Jubilee to a bang-up second-place finish last time. It looked like at the 16th pole, Christoph's Philly was going to re-rally and actually hold off Starship Jubilee. And, look, I am literally and figuratively the biggest Sister Charlie fan there is, Ed DeRosa aside. Ed DeRosa loves her so much he calls her Sister Chuck. I do believe that Sister Charlie is going to rebound. You kind of felt like when you saw her on the track, some of the things Chad Brown said, not that he didn't have her 100%, but, you know, she's a question mark, I think, shorter than 9 furlongs. Call Me Love was Christoph's Philly's name. It escaped me for a minute. And then you add Mean Mary into the mix, 1 of 2 for Grand Motion. I think Sister Charlie was the quintessential need of the race last time. And I think you're going to see the real Sister Charlie didn't show up last time. I think the real Sister Charlie shows up on Sunday, and I think she's going to give you a big performance. For me, she's going to be the she's going to be the swing this weekend. And I actually think she's going to be a decent enough price. I think you're going to get a price. I think you're going to get a price on Sunday, tomorrow, on Sister Charlie that you'll never see again.
Interesting. You can hear the Big A and Bobby Newman with our Weekend Stakes preview show presented by Naira Betts. And they'll go through not only the Diana and the four-star day, but they talk about all the big races this weekend. And you can head over to horseracingradio.net to check out that podcast. I am visiting with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Big A, let's talk about that revamped Belmont Fall Stakes schedule that will kick off right after Saratoga, about a week after the meet. That's a little bit different. Tell me about some of the changes that we can expect at Belmont Park.
Yeah, 1 week hiatus when we come back. We were set to originally open when, you know, pre-COVID back in January, February, when the year schedule came out. We were set to open Friday, September 11th. We'll now open up here Friday, September 18th. Thursday through Sunday schedule, and had to take some money out of that purse structure. Look, like almost everywhere around the country, you know, purse money, the slot money plays a role. And
yep,
the casinos have been closed since March. And, you know, I'll tell you what, we have to take some money off the purses. The racings, I mean, they're some of the most historic and prestigious stakes races in the country. So, but you worry about that. As a racing fan and as a New Yorker, I worry for the harness tracks. Yonkers Raceway has to close after September 12th because they're out of money. That's it. They're out of first money. So thankfully, knock wood, the handle's been through the roof. And things are good. Now, obviously that doesn't just steer the ship. That slot money helps. Especially at a meet like Saratoga, not being able to have fans on track hurts, you know, and in a multitude of ways. And obviously, to me, the money, you know, is secondary or tertiary. I miss being at Section B and hanging out with all the fans. Everybody stops by all the time. And like I said, you guys haven't been able to come up. And, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to worry about the money. And, you know, is it a concern? I would think those casinos need to open up. The politics and everything aside, I don't get how you can do certain things and you can't do other things. And at some point, those casinos, I think they'll open up sooner rather than later. I think that'll help. They already announced that we're only going to be running 4 days a week at Aqueduct as well. For the first time, and I can't tell you, Mike, how long. Last year it happened because of the weather. But we're not running at Aqueduct on Thanksgiving Day. It's a scheduled off day. My whole life, I spent Thanksgiving Day at Aqueduct and then went home and ate half a turkey. This is going to be weird. It's going to be really strange. But these are the things, you know, and they had to cut some money and some stakes out of the stakes schedule at Aqueduct too. So, I'm happy the schedule, money aside, is intact. We still have a road to the Breeders' Cup on November 6th and 7th that you could hear here on the network. And I'm happy we didn't lose any of the races, period. So the money, yeah, I mean, but it's across the board. It's not just here in New York. It's everywhere.
You're going to see more of that with fans not being allowed on track if that continues. You know, I'm hosting a panel, and I talked to Sean Byrne at the University of Louisville with their equine program. I talked to him on the show last week. I'm hosting a panel talking about this very thing. Is this model of people betting, and they're betting as much if not more than ever before, but they're betting off-site through ADWs, and horsemen don't get the full percentage of the dollar. You know, racetracks don't certainly when people don't bet on-site. Is that model sustainable long-term? And I think we're already seeing the effects and the fact that, look, we're going to have to make some serious reductions financially in the purse structure if we're going to continue on. Yes, the races will remain, thankfully, and you're right about that, but the money that horsemen are running for is going to be significantly less with this particular model unless at some point we can get past this and get fans back in the seats and people betting on track. So you're right, it's not the first track this is going to happen with. It certainly won't be the last racetrack that this is going to happen with. And Yeah, a lot of changes, but the races are going to be run. We have the road to the Breeders' Cup, as you mentioned, that will be heard on the network, and a lot of positives there too. So, yeah, we'll just see how it all plays out. But Big A, for now, we focus on the four-star Dave and how good that race is going to be, and can't wait to see those horses strut their stuff later this afternoon.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Really quick, you know, the one thing, horse players, horse people, horsemen and women, they're a tough bunch. And I think that was proven by the fact that during this outbreak, there has been at least one thoroughbred card run on every single day of the year, which is everybody else shut down to some extent. Every other sport, we were the only ones that could go, and we did not miss, and I am very proud of this, we did not miss one program on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So I think that's a testament to the horsemen and women, and a race like the four-star Dave today is a great way to celebrate it. I like Uni like you, Baron, which I'm really afraid that you're on the same horse as me. I was kind of hoping you were going to give me a Raging Bull or something. But listen, it is what it is. I think she's good enough to overcome both of us.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm always on the Uni bandwagon. So, Big A, listen, appreciate the visit. And people can tune in and watch you on Talking Horses at Saratoga. And look forward to catching up again soon, my friend.
Yeah, coming up less than 2 hours. I'll go on eggs early, and I have the 10-race card. Highlighted by that grade one four-star Dave.
All right, good stuff. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And all of our interviews, by the way, brought to you by Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love by going to EmbraceTheRace.com. It is time now for our monthly visit with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon. Brent Elliott is the Master Distiller of the Year, and I had a chance to catch up with Brent and talk to him about the new Small Batch Select that Four Roses has come out with, and he started by talking about the original Small Batch.
Original Small Batch was launched in 2006, and really that's when we created the Small Batch platform, and that's where we go back to our library of 10 recipes and use different combinations to create truly different products. And with the original, that was four recipes, 90 proof, 6 and 7-year-old barrels that go into it. And then sometime in 2017, 2018, we saw that there was some changing demand in the market. People were looking for different types of products and specific non-chill filtered products or higher proof products. So I thought that was a great opportunity to go ahead and expand on the small batch concept by offering a new small batch product. So what we did is we decided to do a non-chill filtered, higher proof. This is 104 proof bourbon. And to expand on the small batch concept, we went into our 10 recipes, and I selected 6 of the recipes and did a lot of test blending to try to hit just the perfect flavor profile that would both be, you know, very good and also different from our other products. And I think we've really achieved that with this one. It's very unique from the other products. It's very rich, robust. You know, being non-chill filtered and a higher proof, you get a lot more intense flavors coming through. It's a very rich, very nice bourbon.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I've been a fan of the small batch for a very long time. The original small batch, I have a bottle of it sitting on my bar right now, as a matter of fact. And the small batch select really, I always liked the small batch because I always thought it was a smooth, easy drink. I really enjoyed the flavor of it. And the small batch select was just the next step in that progression. And it was, as you said, kind of a more robust type of bourbon. And, man, I thought it was fantastic.
Appreciate you saying so.
How much trial and error was there when you were going through and trying to get the right blend, the right formula, the right flavor, the right concept when you were putting this whole thing together, Brent?
It's hard to really put a time on it because I worked on it sort of at my own pace. I took my time with it for, you know, probably the better part of a year. But it wasn't like formulating limited editions where it's, you know, pull the barrels and I need to blend everything together and come up with a test blend within 2 months. You know, with this, we knew it was coming. It was a lot of preparation time. So I had a lot of time to just try variations, just to see how different recipes would work together, what percentages we needed to achieve the flavor profile that ultimately became Small Batch Select.
Is this the flavor profile you thought you were going to come up with when you first started the process?
In the direction of the final flavor profile, because really one of the cornerstones of the unique flavor profile is how we utilize the F yeast strain, which out of our five yeast strains, that's the one that creates kind of spearminty herbal flavors. And so I had in the back of my mind for a while that that was really what we ought to utilize to set this one apart from the other products. And so every test blend was kind of based around that F yeast strain, trying to see what other yeast strains would work well with it and create new and unique flavors. So in a sense, I kind of had an idea of the direction, but it wasn't until I got in the lab and started doing all the test blends that, you know, the blends and the learning through the process directed us to, you know, what we landed on, which is what you tasted on the 4th of July.
Yeah, I think I said in my text it was easy to see why you were given that award as Master Distiller of the Year, and I'll echo those sentiments again. Well done with Four Roses Small Batch Select and with all the bourbons at Four Roses. And Brent will encourage people to go to fourrosesbourbon.com to learn more about everything that Four Roses offers. I really appreciate the visit again here this morning, my friend. Keep up the wonderful work, and we'll continue to be mellow and be responsible with Four Roses.
That sounds great, Mike. Thanks a lot.
And I'll be back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network right after this. We are your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. Mike Penna wrapping up this edition of the Equine Forum. My thanks to all of our guests, including Major League Baseball All-Star Victor Martinez, John Sadler, who talked about higher power in today's Pacific Classic, Sean Clancy, The Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Dr. Jim Chiappetta talking about the new website, Fanticipate, which goes live later today. You can check out Fanticipate.com. Items will not be available until next week, but at least you can go check out the website. And they partnered with Pat Day, who raises money for the racetrack chaplaincy by auctioning off halters from all the horses in the Derby. About 350 people attended the Race for Grace auction dinner the Monday before the Derby last year. Won't be possible because of COVID. So Pat will be teaming with Fanticipate.com to hold their auction on the website. Going to be really, really cool. So make sure you check out Fanticipate.com. All right, my thanks to everybody for making this show possible, all of our guests, and all of you tuning in across North America. Appreciate it. For Lee Delapina in our Lexington studios, for Chauncey handling our social media, I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.